Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. News and stuff right after this. Yes, I think I looked in the mirror this morning. I think I'm going to live. How's it going in your world, my friend? We have news, information, comment. You might want to call a friend, let them know that we're on the air, ready to do this thing again. So many things happening so fast in today's world. Can you get your mind around all of it, my friend? Continue to lean upon the Lord. And there's really five great ways to do that that we repeatedly say on Hello World. Reading that Bible every day. There is strength, encouragement, everything in that book for you today. And in prayer, you can get the ear of God on your behalf and others with daily prayer. And then serving. Oh, there's nothing better than serving God and helping people, getting them closer to the truth of the Word of God. And then fellowship. Do you have Christian friends? You should have a bunch of them. If not, be working on that one, my friend. And then to be in a good Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church where people, there's unity and you love one another. It's the place to be. It's a life to have, my friend. You are a victor. What in the world is going on? It's just the world you and I live in, unfortunately. An elderly Ohio man shot and killed a woman he believed to be part of a phone scam trying to extort money from him, but police say that she was just an Uber driver sent by the scam artist. The tragic shooting was caught on video from the man's home in South Charleston. 81-year-old William Brock told investigators that he shot 61-year-old Aletha Hall because he and his family had been threatened by scammers over the phone. Brock received some scam call by a person purporting to be someone from our courts who informed him of a family member that was incarcerated and he had to bond them out. A significant amount of money, said the lieutenant of the Clark County Sheriff's Office. Schultz said that the callers then stopped pretending to be the officers of the court and instead claimed they had kidnapped a hostage for ransom. The scammers on the phone then sent Hall to the man's home to pick up the money. Ms. Hall didn't have any idea what was going on. Investigators say that Brock demanded Hall tell him who she worked for, and then he grabbed her cell phone to prevent her from leaving. When she tried to get away, he shot her once. Then there was some more exchange between the two. Mr. Brock was at some point injured to his head, and he shot Miss Hall a second time. There was some more conversation. Then he shot her a third time. What a horrible story. But it is life today, isn't it? So, what's the latest with the Donald? Are we too blind to see? I think that's what Donald Trump is saying, and I don't think we are. President Trump lashed out at Judge Juan Merchan and President Biden as he entered the courthouse for day two of his hush money payments trial on Tuesday. Trump called Merchan a Trump-hating judge and claimed that Biden was pushing the charges against him in an effort to derail his presidential campaign. A lot of it is working. One point, Trump was up 5 points, and now most of the polls have him down by 1 or 2 points. It all seems to be a part of this trial. We have a Trump-hating judge. This is a trial that never should have happened. It should have been thrown out a long time ago. I was paying a lawyer, and it was marked down as a legal expense. That's exact. I should be in Pennsylvania and Florida and many other states, he added. This is all coming from the Biden White House because that guy can't put two sentences together ever. Trump went on to say that the judge should recuse himself and never enter the courtroom in this case. Yeah, most people, I think, would agree with that. It's a sham. Told you this one might happen. The FBI is investigating the Francis Scott Key bridge collapse there in Baltimore. They're looking into whether the crew knew that there was problems with the system of the ship before it ever left port. Ship lost power, of course, collided with that iconic bridge, destroying it, killing 6 construction workers. The mayor of Baltimore, Brandon Scott, also announced yesterday the city has hired 2 law firms to hold the wrongdoers responsible. The National Transportation Safety Board is conducting its own investigation into the cause, focusing on the ship's electrical problems. It's the latest in the tech world, artificial intelligence. Multiple Los Angeles area school districts have investigated instances of inappropriate artificial intelligence-generated images of students circulating online along with text messages. It's been going on for months. Most recently, the LA Unified School District announced that it's investigating allegations of inappropriate photos being created and disseminated within the Fairfax High School community. These allegations are taken seriously, do not reflect the values of the LA Unified community, and will result in appropriate disciplinary action if warranted. There's got to be no stopping this in the days ahead. That's the new world in which you and I live. Well, there he was in Haley's Corner, talking about New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu. But he schooled ABC News' George Stephanopoulos on Sunday when the ABC host tried to shame him for backing Donald Trump. There was a point in the 2024 election cycle when Sununu was outspoken about his opposition to Trump. The governor, after all, had backed Nikki Haley in the Republican primary. Haley lost. Sununu now supports Trump, understanding that a second Trump presidency is better than the alternative, a second term of Biden. Sununu, of course, isn't the only American who thinks that way. Polls repeatedly show that a slight majority of voters feel this very same way, a reality Sununu tried to help Stephanopoulos understand, but then he's a left-leaning loony and he doesn't understand anything other than his own agenda. During a contentious interview on ABC News this week, Stephanopoulos grilled Sununu over Trump's criminal trial in Manhattan January 6th with questions that were designed to paint Governor Sununu as a grand hypocrite by juxtaposing his previous criticisms of Trump with his current support of the former president. At every point, Sununu tried the best he could to educate Stephanopoulos on what voters really care about. Stephanopoulos wouldn't hear of it. And I think this was a slam dunk when the governor says, you know what the real story is here? The average American that has gone from Biden back to Trump, the average American that is feeling inflation and all these other issues that says, look, whether there's a conviction or not, we want a cultural change in Washington, D.C., and we'll continue to support President Trump, Sununu explained. The real discussion in America is moving away from Biden. That's how bad Biden has become as president. You can't ignore inflation. You can't ignore the border and say that these issues in the courthouse are going to be the one thing that brings Biden back into office. It's not going to happen. Oh, the left-leaning loonies. They are not happy. I'm trying to remember how many years ago I first thought this about the Democratic Party. Woe unto them that do what? Call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's the book of Isaiah, and it offers a chilling, accurate characterization of Democrats. They have descended into a low point in history, darkness, where they're viewed through power politics, ideology, psychology, religious faith. This party of 2024 has become a daily showcase of exactly the kind of lying, projection, gaslighting, from the book of Isaiah, evil good, good evil. And the Bible, of course, condemns that, wouldn't you say? How in the world could anyone vote Democrat? Democrats' 180-degree moral inversion has become so reliably extreme that it has evolved into something of a crystal ball, allowing one to discern not only what the far-left ruling elites are secretly doing right now, but also how they intend to do it. How can that be? By carefully noting those crimes, conspiracy, and corruption which the Dems falsely accuse conservatives of doing, one can gain a real insight into the very crimes, conspiracies, and corruption that the Democrats are pursuing under the table and planning for your future. I think Representative Harriet Hagman of Wyoming said it best. I believe that this is the most corrupt family ever in a position of power in America's history. We're talking about a level of corruption that is so far beyond what we've ever seen with any previous political leader. Well, I'd amen that, wouldn't you? You got to be honest. He's getting right up there with those corrupt third world dictators going after Trump, using all of those different parts of the legal system as weapons against Donald Trump. That's exactly what's happening. And imprisoning hundreds of innocent, patriotic Americans for protesting the theft, and it was, of the 2020 election. My, oh my, what a world we live in. What is God doing? Something to pray about today, my friend. Business news, Tesla cutting more than 10% of its global workforce. Elon Musk announced the layoffs in an internal memo put out, seen by Bloomberg. Hurt by cooling demand for its electric vehicles and mounting miscues, the automaker badly missed all expectations for deliveries during the last quarter. Electric vehicles, wonderful. What happened here? Samsung reclaimed its spot over Apple as the world's top smartphone seller. Apple iPhone shipments fell 9.6% to 50 million in the first quarter, per the International Data Corp, leaving the tech giant with 17.3% share of the smartphone market. Samsung shipments, meanwhile, fell just 0.7% to 60 million units. So they're on top. Samsung. Health news, this ain't good. Finding just what the doctor orders is getting increasingly more difficult as more and more prescription drugs are becoming scarce. From household names like Adderall to Ozempic to cancer treatments, a record 323 drugs were in short supply in the first quarter of this year. Not having the right medication on hand is forcing doctors to prescribe alternatives that are often inferior to the Plan A treatments, with patients' well-being on the line. Healthcare regulators are scrambling to find a panacea for a problem that's been festering since 2021. There's a surging demand that can lead to a scarcity of drugs like Adderall, which is being prescribed extensively via telehealth, as well as the buzzy weight loss drug Ozempic. Biden announced a $5 billion plan earlier this month he says would keep help pharmacy shelves stocked. Yeah, we'll see. And from the kitchen, it's one of the oldest bits of kitchen advice in the books. If you want to save money, skip convenience foods and cook it from scratch. This is true for a batch of brownies, 39 cents for homemade, but more than $2 for a boxed mix. And cut fruit. You know, pineapple's $2.75 a pound on average versus $4.28 if it's pre-cut. And especially for ready-eat meals, which tend to cost nearly twice as much as the ingredients you need to make them. But there's one that's always cheap at the grocery store. What is that? Rotisserie chicken. In most grocery stores, the average whole raw chicken is actually more expensive than its spit-roasted equivalent. Savings aside, it seems to be a much better deal for any busy shopper, right? Well, it turns out there's a secret out there to that pre-roasted poultry. According to an article in California's public television program, KCET, that golden, juicy rotisserie chicken, often unsold raw chickens that are about to expire and be thrown out. And selling them at a lower price for grocery stores, they'll make less money than they would on raw birds, but more money than if they tossed the chickens in the trash. Wow. And now you know. What else is happening? Stories like this one probably happening every day somewhere. A California club is fighting to get its cross back on what they say is their private property after an atheist group campaigned for it to be removed. 50 years ago, a devout Christian asked the Albany Lions Club to build and maintain a large lighted steel and plexiglass cross on his private land to be lit during Christmas and Easter. When lit, the cross is visible for miles, which is what the group says that its message is, to send God's love as a comfort to the Christian community. The surrounding area has since become public land, but the cross is part of an easement dispute between the city of Albany and the Lions Club. Bring it down. Let it stand. For me, where's my gun? How about LA's 101 freeway? Going to be closed in some places for several weeks while that city builds the world's largest wildlife crossing. Really? Oh, this is good news. Caitlin Clark was selected as the first overall pick in the Women's National Basketball Association draft by the Indiana Pacers. I said by the Indiana Pacers. They broadcast one game nationally last year. Already, there's 36 scheduled. This woman draws a crowd, doesn't she? Where's my Bible? Life 101 is next. Hey, you know, every time I'm sick, I discover a great truth. When you can't do anything, when you're sick, whether you're just sitting in the chair, you can't get out of bed, you know what you can do? Yep. You can pray up a storm. You can pray for hours about all kinds of things. And sometimes, for whatever reason, God has to slow us down. I've been busier than a one-armed paper hanger the last couple of years. And I think age has something to do with it. But, yeah, my get up and go, got up and went somewhere along the line. But, yeah, I love that praying part. Oh, people everywhere, some of you listening, you were on my list. It was good. Let God have his way, and remember what we always say, my friend, no matter what state you are in, remember to ask this question: how can I best glorify the Lord in this thing? I thought on today's program I'd talk about a couple of things. Discouragement, oh boy, and maybe spicing things up in the worship service for you, how to enjoy it a little bit more. You know, discouragement is far more than a mere inconvenience to be ignored. It is a deadly enemy that the enemy uses. It must be resisted with all resources available to you. You see it so often in Christian circles, certainly in our work in the spirit world. When discouragement is left unchecked, it can be disastrous. It can create an inner gnawing that dominates your outlook so thoroughly that you lose focus and your mind becomes divided. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It doesn't have to be true. It's just what he thinks. And then it becomes truth to him. And anything that you hear 17 times in a row, your mind begins to accept as a fact. And there's something about a divided mind, right? At that point, we often look for someone to blame. We can become consumed by thoughts of, who was it that was disloyal to me? Who let me down? I thought they'd be by my side. From this soil of deep disappointment in your life springs weeds of anger at our circumstances, anger at God, or maybe at other people. If we continue down this road, we're going to eventually wind up estranged from those around us, and we can also become convinced that we are somehow fatally flawed and hopelessly handicapped, and we give up on our walk completely. Now that's a disaster. I think we can find ourselves in the 42nd Psalm. As the deer pants for the water's brooks, so my soul pants for you, God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? I remember these things and pour out my soul within me. For I used to go over with the multitude and walk them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude celebrating a festival. Why are you in despair, my soul, and why are you restless within me? Wait for God, for I will again praise him for the help of his presence, my God. My soul is in despair in me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon and Mount Mizar. The whole psalm goes on, verse after verse here. Why are you in despair, my soul, and why are you restless within me? Wait for God, for I will again praise him for the help of his presence, my God. You know, there is a way out. You don't have to surrender to your emotions. You can cry out to Almighty God and acknowledge that he is with you. He loves you unconditionally. You let him know that you have a problem. You know it. He knows it. Talk about it. We can remember that our Heavenly Father has promised to work even in our present situation for something good. It's my life verse, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to thee called according to his purpose. and we can affirm that he is sovereign and restate our willingness to be under his control and under his authority. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Are you sinking today? Maybe you're in the midst of discouragement about something. Pastors get there a lot. Let me tell you, after 35 years, coming up on 36 there in May, I know a little bit about this. Yep. Allow God to lift you up, to set your feet upon a rock. He himself wants to be your solid footing. Read Psalm 40, verse 2. As you choose to shift your focus away from disappointment and onto your Heavenly Father, you're going to begin to notice a positive change in your outlook on life. If you haven't discovered it already, so many things in your daily life, your minute-to-minute walk, determined by that mind as you think. Think the right thing, my friend. Think Bible. It is real. It is truth. You shall know the truth, and it'll set you free. Hey, there's a secret. I found it to enjoying worship services. People who know the key leave church uplifted, excited, comforted. Others, just the same old, unmoved. The difference is the first group knows how to listen to what they are hearing. We should eagerly anticipate listening to the Bible. It's hard to get excited if we think a sermon is aimed at the general crowd. That's not how God works. Every time you hear the Bible, God has something specific and personal to say to you. Yes, to you. Certainly the Israelites believed that, or they wouldn't have gathered with such eagerness to hear Ezra read. Nehemiah 8:5, then Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with the raising of their hands, and then they kneeled down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Anything like that happening in your church service? And the people also listened attentively. They had no writing tools. They had to commit to memory as much as possible. We often sit through a service thinking about the time and what we're going to have for lunch and the week's schedule, etc., when all the while God is revealing himself through the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, the Bible. Our attention span is determined by our genuine interest in the subject. Don't miss that. Your attention span in church is determined by your genuine interest in the subject. Why is it some people can watch a 3-hour movie with rapt attention and yet fidget after only 5 minutes of reading the Bible? We assume that a movie is going to be entertaining, but often approach church with no expectations at all. Really? If God desires to speak to each of us through his word, then we should be expectedly listening. He has a word of encouragement, a word of strength, a word of comfort for you today. It's a great mystery of preaching that a man can give a message about one truth from Scripture and everybody in church hears something quite different. Have you heard that one before? Sure you have. The exact point, God knows everyone's needs. And finally, it's a political, the climate. The former mayor of Reading, Pennsylvania, recounted a funny story. This one happened while he was running for re-election. He was the mayor, going to want to do it again. He was in a bar, and he paid for a woman's drink. She thanked him but wondered why a stranger would buy her a beer. I'm running for mayor of this city, he told her, and I want your vote. Well, you got it, she said, grabbing her glass. Anyone's better than that jerk we got in there now. Yeah. You've been listening to Hello World, news, information, and comment every day at this time. If you join me on Facebook, for some reason, dozens every day, putting in their request to be on Facebook with me. I love it. Thank you. That's the way it is for Tuesday. It is Tuesday, right? April the 16th, 2024. I am Greg Patton. God bless you. Have a great day.